Don't speak, I can't believe this is here happening.
All right, hello and welcome back. You are tuned in to yet another advanced edition here on Open Language. My name is Spencer.
And I'm Mike.
Hey, Mike, looks like we are back with part two.
Part two of gun control.
That's right, gun control, a very hot, hot topic in America these days because there's a lot going on surrounding the whole gun issue. Anyway, we figured we would get a little deeper into the matter in part two of this topic. We have two different friends in today's dialogue, Oliver and Rick. So let's go ahead and see what they have to say.
Hey, Rick, according to this poll that just came out, nearly 7 in 10 Americans favor stricter gun measures. It seems that this whole gun control movement thing is really picking up steam.
Yeah, but half of Americans don't expect elected officials to take any real action. There is little faith in Congress these days, and it's no surprise the government always drags its feet when it comes to the big issues.
Faith or no faith, demands for gun control haven't gone completely unmet this year. The DOJ moved to ban bump stocks. Some big U.S. companies distanced themselves from the NRA, and Trump, if you can believe it or not, signed a federal spending bill into law that included a provision intended to strengthen background checks.
I hear you, but historically speaking, gun control is one of those issues that has swayed back and forth for hundreds of years now.
Are you saying there were prior restrictions that aren't existent today?
There were all kinds of crazy restrictions. For example, Native Americans, indentured servants, slaves, and then later freed slaves under Jim Crow laws were all prohibited from owning firearms. There were even entire towns that prohibited guns altogether.
Wow, the U.S. really was a different place back then. So what's the deal with today?
Since the early 20th century, numerous federal laws were enacted to tighten things up a bit, only to be revised or completely overturned in later years. Call me a cynic, but I think the culprit here is gun lobbying. As long as that "you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours" mentality is in Washington, we won't see any massive changes.
All right, I think today's discussion kicks off with our friend Oliver, right, Mike?
That's right. So Oliver says, "Hey, Rick, according to this poll that just came out, nearly 7 in 10 Americans favor stricter gun measures."
Okay, so favor stricter gun measures. So we're not here with like a ruler.
Yeah.
No.
That's exactly 10 centimeters.
Your gun cannot surpass 10 inches, all right? Yeah. It's going to be too big. No, actually here, where measures means like laws, policies, rules, actions.
Action, yeah, yeah. Stricter gun measures would be taking action on gun ownership.
Yeah, so basically kind of like taking action to make new rules, laws, policies, something like that, yeah. Right? So Oliver here thinks this whole gun control movement thing is really picking up steam.
Picking up steam is just, it's getting faster, it's getting bigger, it's becoming more popular. You know, imagine like an old steam train.
Yeah.
The more coal you put on, the more steam, the faster it gets. Yeah, exactly like that. Yeah.
So picking up steam, right? A movement here, you know, so basically, people are supporting this gun control movement. It's picking up steam. It's getting stronger, bigger, faster, better.
Yeah.
No, it's just, yeah. Like you said, it's becoming more popular. It's becoming more supported. Right. But our friend Rick here doesn't seem so optimistic about the whole thing. He says half of Americans don't expect elected officials to take any real action. So elected officials?
Your elected officials are the politicians that you vote for.
Yeah, these are the people who have been, we say, elected or voted into office. So if you are an actual politician, you are an official.
Yes.
Right? So an elected official at that. So Americans don't think they're going to take any action. There is little faith in Congress these days. Okay, so Congress, this is part of the, it's a big part of the American government. And we will put some of these extra words in the supplementary vocabulary. But Congress is made up of the Senate and the House of Representatives.
Right.
The Senate is made up of senators, House of Representatives, I believe. Well, you can kind of think of them as congressmen.
Cool. Even representatives, aren't they, sometimes?
Yeah. And these people are elected officials, right? They're elected by the people into these positions.
Yes, and they make laws, right? They make new rules.
Yeah, the senators weigh in on laws. They have an influence in lawmaking. Okay, cool. But the government seems to always drag its feet when it comes to the big issues.
Drag your feet. Imagine someone who doesn't want to do something.
Yeah.
Just walking very slowly.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to do this.
Or I also kind of think of like parents with kids.
Oh, yeah.
Come along, Timmy. No, I don't want to go to the dentist. You know,
and holding his arm and dragging his feet, just like dragging along the floor behind him.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's kind of like reluctantly doing something. They're not enthusiastic about it. Mm-hmm. Maybe they procrastinate. Mm. They're very slow to do something. But Oliver here says, faith or no faith, this is our grammar point of the day, guys, something or no something, demands for gun control haven't gone completely unmet this year. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So faith or no faith, I actually like this pattern. This is very useful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Could you maybe think of an example of something or no something?
Something like, money or no money, that car will be mine.
Okay, sounds like my getting ready to steal a car. How about education or no education? I'm going to be a successful businessman.
Yep. Yeah. That's another good one.
Yeah. So basically, no something or no something, it's kind of like no matter what, something else is going to happen. You're going to make it happen.
Yep.
Right. So he says here, the gun control demands haven't gone completely unmet. The DOJ moved to ban bump stocks. Okay, there's a lot of vocab here. Mm. So DOJ.
Well, this is your American Department of Justice.
That's right. The Department of Justice. I'm from D.C. The DOJ is based in D.C. and it's just easier to say DOJ instead of Department of Justice. Kind of long, right?
Right.
All right, so guys, just remember, DOJ. And they moved. This is one of our expansion words today here. And we're not talking about moving house.
No.
No, they moved to ban bump stocks. So moved is...
Well, to do something, to change a law or change the rules about something.
Yeah, it's kind of like to do something officially.
Yeah.
So, guys, go ahead and check out the expansion section to gain a little more clarity on this seemingly simple but not so simple word, moved.
Mm.
All right. And what did they move to do?
They moved to ban bump stocks.
Okay, bump stocks.
I don't know what a bump stock is.
It's a pretty technical term with relation to guns. A bump stock is something that changes a gun, a semi-automatic gun, to function more like an automatic gun. Yeah, basically, a lot of these people who have committed these mass shootings have used bump stocks to increase the capability of the gun that they have.
So that means what? They can fire more bullets faster?
Yeah, yeah, and at once. Like a semi-automatic is not as deadly, I guess, as a fully automatic, right. or a full automatic doesn't have the full capability, right, of automatic. Anyway, so also some big U.S. companies have distanced themselves from the NRA, and if you could believe it or not, Trump, right, signed a federal spending bill into law that included a provision intended to strengthen background checks. Whew, a lot of info here today, guys.
It's a long sentence, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so distanced. Actually, this is another expansion word today. And this kind of means to just, like, separate, right?
Yeah, this is if you don't want to look like you agree with somebody. Mm-hmm. You want to distance yourself from that opinion.
Yeah.
So, for example, these U.S. companies don't want to be seen to be too close to the NRA now. It's
bad
for business.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to distance themselves from them.
Yeah, that's right. And it's because so many people are now pushing for the greater gun control movement that these companies think, hey, most of the people who buy our products don't want us to be associated with them, right? Mm-hmm. Bad for business. So we're going to distance ourselves. We're going to separate ourselves from being associated.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. A federal spending bill. So basically, guys, you might be asking yourself, what is this federal spending bill? Well, the American government is a federal system, and this spending bill, it basically is just taking like federal, we say federal tax money, national mm-hmm. tax money, and they spend it with this bill. Uh-huh. And a bill is like a proposed law.
Right.
But now you could see that it's, since it's being signed into law, that the bill actually becomes a law.
So a bill itself is not law. It's more like a proposal?
Yeah, it's kind of like a proposal that can then become a law.
Right.
Right. But a federal spending bill, it's a proposal for federal spending for a certain cause.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, so not to get too confusing here, guys. Basically, this federal spending bill included a provision intended to strengthen background checks. Right. So a provision. This is like another rule kind of.
Yeah. It's a lot of words for rules today. This is a provision is a rule that is part of a law.
Yeah, exactly. So a provision is just part of a law.
Yeah.
So the law might say one big thing, mm-hmm. but, you know, in that there's little details.
Yeah.
So think of the provision as more of a detail of a law.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this detail is intended to strengthen background checks.
Mm-hmm. So, you're looking into someone's history. You want to know if they've committed any crimes.
Yes.
If they've done anything that means that they shouldn't be allowed to buy a gun.
Yeah, the background check is just used to assess, to evaluate, to determine if somebody is, well, if they should be lawfully allowed mm-hmm. to buy a gun. Are right. they fit? Are they basically, are they mentally stable?
Yep.
Have they not committed any crimes? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. So our friend Rick here says, yeah, I hear you, but historically speaking, gun control is one of those issues that has swayed back and forth for hundreds of years now.
Mm.
Okay, so sway is another expansion word today, guys. Really good word. And sway yeah. has quite the many different uses.
Yeah, I mean, here it says swayed back and forth. This is literally you're moving one way mm-hmm. and then the other way mm-hmm. and then the other way. Imagine grass in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Grass sways in the wind. Yeah. Beautiful sound effects, too. People go to sleep listening to you do that.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So trees can sway in the wind, right? Mm-hmm. But this is more, we say, literal. Swaying can also be a bit more abstract.
Mm-hmm.
So here, he's talking about laws kind of or issues, right? You know, swaying back and forth.
Yeah.
But you can also sway, like, public opinion,
mm-hmm.
right? A politician maybe can have a campaign, you know, to support something or go against something, mm-hmm. and he keeps, or she keeps pushing for it
yep.
to sway, to move public opinion to support what he or she wants.
Exactly. Like you're trying to convince them, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You want to convince somebody. So sway basically, in this sense, means to convince.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out Oliver wasn't so clear about gun laws in the past, and Rick says there were all kinds of crazy restrictions. For example, Native Americans, indentured servants, slaves, and then later freed slaves under Jim Crow laws were all prohibited from owning firearms.
Hmm.
Wow, Rick really knows his stuff.
He does.
What's an indentured servant?
An indentured servant. So whereas a slave, as we know, was somebody who was made to work mm-hmm. basically their whole life for no mm-hmm. money, nothing
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
They were owned.
They had no rights.
No rights at all.
Mm-hmm.
Indentured servants were more like people who agreed to work for a certain amount of time,
mm-hmm.
maybe 5, 10, 15 years.
20, who knows?
Who knows, yeah. But they had a contract, and that was for to pay for, usually in America, their passage from Europe to America.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, a long time ago, there were actually, like, a lot of Irish indentured mm-hmm. servants in yeah. America. And if you guys are actually interested, you know, go ahead and look up some American history mm-hmm. Online. Actually, the Irish really weren't treated too well
no,
in
not
America.
At all. They are now. They're loved in America.
Yeah,
now.
I love those Irish. Yeah. I'm part of them, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, hey,
not American were. Irish.
But, yeah, so indentured servants, basically, it's kind of like a step up from being a slave.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really great being an indentured servant, but it's better than being a slave, I guess.
Yeah, I guess an indentured servant, at least you know at the end of your contract, you are free.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah,
yeah.
Depending on your circumstances.
Yeah.
But a slave never had that hope.
No, no, not. And then even after slaves were freed, there were these laws. Again, you can check out this stuff online if you're really interested, called Jim Crow laws.
Hmm.
These were laws after slavery that further pushed, that basically just still discriminated against blacks in America
right.
for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so kind of pushed for segregation.
So like splitting like white schools and black schools,
yeah, and
white
there's,
restaurants, black restaurants.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff, you know. It's kind of like apartheid in South Africa, if anyone is familiar with that. Okay, cool. Well, not cool.
No, uncool.
Yeah,
uncool.
Very uncool. But Oliver, yeah, he says, wow, the U.S. is really a different place back then. And then, you know, he's like, he really realizes that Rick knows a lot. So Rick then goes on to say, well, since the early 20th century, numerous federal laws were enacted to tighten things up a bit, only to be revised or completely overturned in later years. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, cool. We have this word enacted.
Enacted. So in this case, it's to make a law official or to turn a bill to a law.
Yeah. So the word enact, it basically means like to create, but it's only really used for the creation of a law.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I can say create a law or enact a law. Yep. I can say create a iPhone, but I can't say enact an iPhone.
No, you cannot enact an iPhone.
No, I cannot. yeah, so basically when laws are created, we say they are enacted.
Yep.
Enacted, too, can be to, like, carry out a role in a play or, like, a movie, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you can enact something. You can act a play, enact a story.
Mm.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, or maybe there's, like, a story from the past that you can reenact.
Oh, like, you guys love your Civil War reenactments, right?
I don't, but right. There are Americans who do.
Yeah.
Yeah, Civil War reenactments. Okay, cool. Moving along here, we have this word revised.
Mm-hmm.
So this means like edited, right?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Edit or change in some way.
Yeah, so in addition to revising laws, you can also just like revise documents.
Yeah.
You know, you can revise. When you are writing maybe like a thesis, you should go through a lot of revision before you have the final draft.
Yeah, you don't just use the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. But we also have this word here, overturned.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like just like canceled, right?
In terms of law and things, yeah, overturned, just canceled. It doesn't apply anymore.
Yeah, so basically there were some laws, gun laws before, and then later they said, you know what, we're just going to do away with those gun laws. We're going to overturn it. Now, Rick says, call me a cynic.
You're a cynic.
So a cynic is someone who's really pessimistic, right?
It's someone who sees the actions behind them as like a personal interest. People do things for themselves.
Right. So a cynic is like a specific type of pessimistic person, a specific type of pessimist. A cynical person believes that people only really do things for like personal gain.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he says, call me a cynic, but I think the culprit here is gun lobbying. As long as that you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours mentality is in Washington, we won't see any massive changes.
Mm.
Wow. Okay. So he believes the culprit is gun lobbying.
Right. Yeah. The culprit then is the person responsible, the person who's doing wrong.
Yeah. So a culprit is also somebody who commits a crime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike got caught stealing that car. He is the car theft culprit.
Yeah. Don't tell him that. Why are you telling everybody?
Okay. But here, culprit doesn't have to be just one person. It can be the, like, thing, the phenomenon to blame. So here, he blames gun lobbying.
Mm.
So that is the people who lobby, the lobbyists who support gun rights.
That's right.
Right? So basically the NRA and other similar people.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, I like this saying here, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours.
Yeah, this is a really good phrase.
Yeah, so it's like, you help me and I'll help you.
Exactly right, yeah. You do this for me and I'll do this for you.
Mm, exactly. And with that, we have this word mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see here, it has the word like mental in it, but it's kind of like behavior, way of thinking, way of doing, right?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. It basically tells you how, if you can work out someone's mentality, it can tell you how they think, what they're likely to do, how they're likely to act.
Right. Mm. So here saying you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours mentality means he thinks all these lobbyists and politicians in Washington, you know, if you help me, I'll help you. You know,
exactly.
We can do this together.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. Yeah. So Rick is quite the cynic.
Indeed, yes.
Mm. Let's go ahead and listen to this dialogue one more time.
Hey, Rick. According to this poll that just came out, nearly 7 in 10 Americans favor stricter gun measures. It seems that this whole gun control movement thing is really picking up steam.
Yeah, but half of Americans don't expect elected officials to take any real action. There is little faith in Congress these days, and it's no surprise the government always drags its feet when it comes to the big issues.
Faith or no faith, demands for gun control haven't gone completely unmet this year. The DOJ moved to ban bump stocks. Some big U.S. companies distanced themselves from the NRA, and Trump, if you can believe it or not, signed a federal spending bill into law that included a provision intended to strengthen background checks.
I hear you, but historically speaking, gun control is one of those issues that has swayed back and forth for hundreds of years now.
Are you saying there were prior restrictions that aren't existent today?
There were all kinds of crazy restrictions. For example, Native Americans, indentured servants, slaves, and then later freed slaves under Jim Crow laws were all prohibited from owning firearms. There were even entire towns that prohibited guns altogether.
Wow, the U.S. really was a different place back then. So what's the deal with today?
Since the early 20th century, numerous federal laws were enacted to tighten things up a bit, only to be revised or completely overturned in later years. Call me a cynic, but I think the culprit here is gun lobbying. As long as that "you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours" mentality is in Washington, we won't see any massive changes.
All right, before we get out of here today, we are going to chit-chat a bit about lobbying.
Right.
Okay, so our friend Rick here, he thinks lobbying is the culprit. Now, what is lobbying exactly?
Lobbying is when people or interest groups, they try to sway elected officials to vote for their interest, or not to vote, but to support their cause, make changes, look favorably upon their cause.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So if I'm a lobbyist, a gun lobbyist, I might try and, you know, sway a senator to push for gun laws or, you know, looser gun laws.
Yeah.
So maybe my, you know, let's say my interest is selling guns. So maybe they can push for more relaxed, gun laws so I can sell more guns and make more money. Something like that. But, you know, there isn't just, you know, lobbying groups for guns. I mean, basically every interest group.
Anything. I mean, guns is just one of the most powerful ones. So it's one you'll hear about the most.
Yeah. Medicine is a huge one.
Medicine as well.
Really, no matter where on the political spectrum you are, left or right, there is going to be a lobbying group on that part of the spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't just say, oh, it's just Republicans or, oh, it's just Democrats. You know, honestly, it's everybody with all of their interests. This is pretty much American politics.
Yeah, and it's the way politics has always been. And unless they do something to change it, it's the way it probably always will be.
Yes, unfortunately, I must say. So with that said, I believe it is about time that we get out of here. Really hope you enjoyed today's lesson and really hope that you feel like you got a lot out of it. As always, leave us your comments. I'm sure there's going to be a ton after this lesson. Looking forward to those, and see you next time.
See you later. Would you even try?